Staining It Live with Rita Steele on 95BFM.
Is it?
Is that you, Rita?
I am here. How are you guys?
What's up,
dog? I like how the girl doing the intro.
What did you do?
I like how she says my name. I need to work on
Rita
saying
Steele.
My name.
Rita Steele. I do believe who was reading the intro? I forget now.
It's Jen, I think.
Oh, old mate Jen. We'll pass that on.
Yeah. Nice work, Jen.
What's that? Now you're slipping your toes into the coronavirus realm.
Oh, God. Like, it's like if you don't talk about it this week, are you really alive? I'm over it. I don't know if everyone else is. So I'm sorry to be one more voice on coronavirus. But
I'm a little bit over people taking the piss out of it, like memes and stuff. I'm like, can everyone just kind of
take it seriously?
What? Calm down a bit. Like,
Corona has legitimately lost hundreds of millions of dollars worth of business.
This is my other issue, actually, because the corona is also like an astronomical kind of event. Why is it a word? Why can't they just... Because it is like a couple of digits and a thing, but it, you know, why call it a word? Just call it like...
The virus looks like it's got a crown on top of it.
Yeah. Whose idea was that? It's just bad, right? You just doomed that word for ages.
Well, because the other ones were like MERS and SARS, so we could have early days have just called it like WAS, maybe Wuhan, but then they didn't want to attach it to Wuhan.
I'm more like a binary. Just call it like a number or something.
Like H1N1.
Yeah, exactly. Like that scares the shit out of me hearing that. Like I'm like ooh, but if you call it virus 384, like ooh shit, you know.
Those are actually the receptors that they connect to,
right.
H1N1.
Right.
But I don't know if it's that simple with corona, which is why I don't know.
Seems like
you need a doctor segment. Oh my God, that'd be great. Everyone could bring up with their weird stuff. Anyway. Very off track. I am wanting to talk today because I'm on a positive spin on coronavirus. It is not bad for everyone. It is great for the environment.
Wow.
I know, I'm throwing it out there.
How so is it great for the environment?
Okay, well, one of the biggest sort of signals that this is happening is that we're seeing an economic downturn, and economic downturns tend to be pretty good for the environment. So we've seen stock markets around the world crash about 10%, and in particular airlines, which have crashed about 20%, which I'm actually quite surprised about because I would have thought it was more than that. We've seen a $4.3 trillion loss, and GDPs around the world are being revised significantly. And usually what this means is so when we see economic decreases like this, and then when GDP gets revised, it means that they're expecting countries to be a lot less productive, and we've been kind of conditioned to believe that productivity is the measure of one's worth or one's country's worth, but actually GDP, as I've talked multiple times on the show about, is actually a really insidious measure, because you can have a really fantastic GDP if you decide to cut down all of your native forests and sell up all of your resources. The next year you'll have very little to work with. So and for us, like the RENA disaster, for example, actually added to a positive GDP. So, GDP is a really insidious kind of tool to show whether a country is going to be doing very well. But it does tend to show production, and the fact that we are seeing drops in production around the world is always has a really good benefit, or 9 times out of 10 has a really good benefit or flow on effect to the environment. And some people may have seen today that there's a map floating around that NASA have released to show an example of this. So what we're seeing is a massive decline in air pollution in China. This decline is compared year on year. Usually this time of year it is a little bit lower because of the Chinese New Year, so people being on holiday, but they're seeing a massive reduction in nitrogen dioxide, which is mainly like transport and industry air pollution, compared to the last few years. So in that particular scenario started in Wuhan. They started seeing the decline in air pollution directly following the quarantine that was put in place. So, in terms of air pollution, it's fantastic. We start seeing some great results straight away. And this also happened during the GFC. So not only did we see declines in those industrial greenhouse gases, so like nitrogen dioxide, but also CO2 was at its lowest that it has been for a long time in 2009 following the GFC globally. So, you know, we see some great air pollution and great for, you know, declines in climate change from the lack of production.
But we've run out of iPhones in New Zealand.
Oh, have we?
Well, apparently Spark
Imagine.
Has.
I've got one.
Imagine we have to deal with... What are we going to do dealing with our old iPhones?
Oh, but those are the phones. Those are the phones I rely on. I rely on people getting a new phone, and they work in like fancy, expensive jobs, and then they give their crummy phones to Big Hungry, and I'm like playing the recycling role. So,
are you a first recycler, or do you normally get it after someone else has recycled?
I'm pretty far down the pecking order when it comes to electronic goods.
Yeah. Good on you, though.
Look, I don't need
someone
much.
Has to do
I don't
it
need
right.
much.
No, I'm with you. The more fancier they get, the more difficult they get to.
I got one a little while ago. I spend my expensive money on like synthesizers and stuff like that, but not.
Yeah.
Not like
good call. Good call. And even those, the old secondhand ones are better anyway, aren't they?
This is true. This is true.
The other great thing that comes from a lack of economic from these sorts of things is that there's lots of projects that are kind of marginally profitable, and they rely quite a bit on you know, these great buoyant times. But then when things start going downhill like they are, then all of a sudden these projects become quite unfeasible. And there's quite a good example of this in Lake Baikal, I think is how you call it. And it's the oldest, largest freshwater lake in the world. And they've got a really gnarly paper mill that sits on this lake.
Are they terrible because all the bleach that they make the paper white with?
Yeah, they've just got lots of pollutions that leach out or that they have to put somewhere, and they run through they use a lot of water.
Yeah.
And then they dump the water back in. And even those that are... that they've treated the water, the water that goes in isn't the same as the water that comes out. Like, the water that goes in is, you know, the same temperature as what the, you know, fish are used to, or, you know, it's got, you know, nutrients in it and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, even the best ones in the world are still problematic. But this one's particularly old, and in a country that isn't great, well known for its environmental regulations. So it does pump out some pretty gnarly toxins into this lake, and since 1964, environmentalists have been trying to shut it down. And they got their wish not long after the GFC, and it was because all of a sudden economically it wasn't, you know, feasible anymore. So it declined its production and then went out of favour. So, and we see that a little bit closer to home. Another example of that in New Zealand was post the GFC, we saw dairy prices decline significantly. They haven't really made a massive comeback, and what that's done is helped the sort of the we've intensified dairy massively, and when they started getting really bad returns, all of a sudden they started going, actually, let's not intensify. So we're seeing less intensification of dairy happening in New Zealand, and less conversions happening as well because of that. So there's, you know, some bonuses to economic these economic downturns that come with things like coronavirus. And I know that you, Johnny, are a snowboarder, so a little one that isn't necessarily straight environmental, but this decline in tourism that comes, especially with this one, because it is kind of associated with travel, means that it gives a lot of places some time to recover. And I was reading a piece about, you know, they like to think that recreation and the love and the spiritual kind of vibe that you get from doing things like going on a bushwalk or snowboarding or whatever, that kind of falls into this environmental space as well. And, you know, there's going to be a lot less people out on the slopes and stuff. So if you do go and hit them, you're going to have them a bit more to yourself than you normally would.
Nice.
I can't guarantee that, but that's what they're saying. So, so there's lots of good kind of things to come out of this, and I guess, you know, there's going to be some deaths, so it is a bit gnarly to talk about the good things, but I try and be positive where I can, get some positives for the environment. So
I'm kind of curious, like, the environment's great, but sustaining alive, like, I'm kind of curious as to looking into how we stay alive amongst all this stuff.
Yeah, well, I've done a little bit of research because I've got a young family, and actually young people seem to be doing all right, but it's elderly. But Vitamin C every day, 1,000 milligrams at a minimum every day.
Classic, yeah.
And don't just take it when you get sick.
I kind of go through waves of it, eh? Yeah, I definitely... Yeah, I get the one with the echinacea as well, a little echinacea in there.
Yeah, and bioflavonoids, and just stock up on that stuff. Apparently, I haven't looked into it too much, but elderberry is really good as well. Manuka honey, the more numbers you can get, the better, apparently.
Okay.
And wash your hands.
Oh, yeah, classic.
But, I mean, I just had to catch a taxi because I've broken my foot, and I said to myself, like, don't touch anything, and if you do not touch anything. And the amount of times I touched my nose, I was, like, just itching
my
nose
is a bit trippy. It's, like, hundreds of times a day.
Oh, my God, I can't believe it. And I was saying in my mind, like, don't touch your face, don't touch your face. Like, so I don't know, I think it's...
you got to suss the fringe out there, you know.
Yeah. the other thing that I think we, you know, the economy will probably come back because that's what seems to just always happen. So we can't rely on these downturns to save us. But what we could do is we can push for a rebuild with the green tech. So, you know, when we come back, this is a really good time for, you know, like maybe let's not build anymore, gas stations. If we're going to build, maybe doing, you know, like battery charging stations are a better idea or something. So it's a good time to like look at those investments and whether they're in the right place or whether now's a really good time to be looking at them. And for me, what I've done is I got given a few shares in the last business that I worked for, and they have declined to the point of it being a sad state of affairs in this whole thing. And I've decided that what I'll do is I'll take out what's left and invest in some green businesses that I really believe in while they're really low, so because it is affordable to kind of get into the market when it's at its lowest, and that's a great way to kind of send a message to the market that you, these are the things that you believe in. For those of us that do have, I've literally got a few handful of shares there left. And then the other thing is that it's a really good chance for us to relook at what we're doing and become more resilient. Because I look at like, whoa, we've just been told one person's got coronavirus in New Zealand and all of a sudden our supermarket's got crazy. And it's sort of like, hey, we probably should have, like, now's a good time to look around and go, okay, how can I make my house more sustainable? Growing vegetables and, you know, so I don't have to go out and rely on the outside world for things. Because if it's not coronavirus, it could be a volcano or an earthquake or,
exactly.
And the more we can build resilience into our lifestyles, the better, and buying local and being local and making your own stuff is the best way of doing that.
Nice, Rita.
Cool.
Do you reckon Corona will sue whoever called coronavirus the coronavirus? Put it like this. If we called it the Coca-Cola virus, do you think there'd be a cure by now?
I think there's already a vaccine for that.
You know what I mean? Just, imagine if it was called the Coca-Cola virus.
Or, totally.
Man,
they would have just dropped it in their Coca-Cola. Everyone just buy a Coke. Hey, that's a great way to get the immunity out to everyone, right? The vaccine. Buy a Coke. Anyway, but it has to be an aluminium. No more plastic, please.
Fair enough.
Right.
Okay, thanks, buddy.
Guys.
Thanks so much,
Rita. Have a great week.
That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.